You're listening to Community Connections on Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley. Now, we're going to have Peter on the line any second, so just bear with me. It's the joys of using technology. Peter, first of all, Happy New Year to you. I think I just said that. I'm a bit flustered here. But anyway, all right. So, Peter, I think we were working our way through some statistics last year that you probably didn't get finished before Christmas. Am I right on that?
Yeah, look, I think to summarise again, Alan, is that, you know, there may well be a tendency for people to who may not normally steal to try and, you know, steal by necessity to put food on the table or clothes on their back or toys for the kids at Christmas time, all that sort of thing. And yes, a rate increase could well push people economically to that point. But again, I think overall the effect that that has on the retail industry, and I'm not writing it off as insignificant, but it does pale into insignificance when it compares to the organised retail theft that goes on, which is people day in, day out, stealing, you know, quite substantive amounts of value of goods, whatever it might be. They would do far more harm than the odd incident of theft from a person who probably does not normally steal.
Peter, I've got to take a break and try and sort all these problems out. Just quickly, though, could you look at America, seeing that you seem to be able to get more stats out of there than Australia? The average cost is in shoplifting, whether they are the sort of $50 lots, would there be any stats that says on the average or they range from this to that? Would that be available at all?
Yeah, I believe I have probably found that information in the past, the average cost of each shoplift. Yep. So I'll do some more homework and refresh my intel on that particular figure. I do vaguely remember something like that coming up. So again, based in the States, I think, rather than Australia. Yep. But I'll research both and see what I can come up with.
Peter, just hang on there. I've got to take a break. I need to sort. We've got a couple of problems here. I'll sort them out and I'll come straight back to you.
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, mate. now we're back on air again. We've got everything set up. First of all, thank you to Leanne for the message you sent me. You certainly alerted me to a problem. And also we had the Lions Op Shop, which is here at 9 Lilydale Street in Lilydale, in Hillsville, came and knocked on the door and told me that it was a Hillsville Op Shop. The Lions Op Shop in 9 Lilydale Road, Hillsville, came and knocked on the door, and also had another couple of people ringing me to tell me that P.I. Peter wasn't going to air until towards the end. We've had a lot of trouble with the iPad this morning. But anyway, sorry about that, Peter. We're now back on air, so we know that some people missed out, but we'll catch up now.
Sure, no problem.
So what would you like to talk about now, mate? If you could have a look at that, what I just said about the, you know, the difference in how much is being stolen per item. I suspect mum and dad, but the person who's stealing for themselves are probably only stealing $100, whereas some of these others are thousands, aren't they?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I'll do some homework on that. And As I recall, I had done something on that in the past, so I'll refresh the information. So anyway, my first topic for the year, Alan's a bit of a negative one. It's I noticed an article which summed up the road toll for Australia in that 1,300 people died on an Australian road during 2025, including 288 lives lost in 2025 in Victoria, compared with 284 the year before in 2024. And I had previously had a bit of a look at this. I've found some notes here where I'm saying in 2021 the road toll was 235. So that's a 25% increase between 2021 and 2025. And another couple of interesting things that came out of that previous research back then, I assume it's probably still the case, was the fact that there are more rural victims in respect to road deaths as opposed to Greater Melbourne. So and I was a little bit surprised by that in some way, but I assume that's probably still the case. And the other takeaway back then when I did some research were that males were almost three times more likely to be the victim of a fatality.
Three times?
Yeah, three times more likely. I could probably have a look at that, revisit that again if you want, but I'm reasonably sure those indications haven't really changed too much.
Peter, with that, are they more likely to be fatalities with males than females?
That's what I'm saying, almost three times more likely. So that means...
Are we talking about fatalities? Fatalities. I thought you just meant accidents, right.
No. Well, possibly both, but fatalities, yeah, was my understanding. So, 42% of the people killed on roads were actually the drivers. Sure. So presumably the rest is passengers and pedestrians. So less than half are actually the drivers,
Peter,
of the vehicle. Yeah.
I had the Highway Patrol in here. I think it was either November or December. Hello, James, if you're listening, great guy. And he was saying that they are getting an enormous amount of people, particularly in accidents, and also booking them, that aren't wearing seatbelts. Well, like, which planet are you on? I mean, everybody knows you've got to be wearing seatbelts.
Yeah, I think we've discussed this in the past, that people actually sit on top of the belt so that it's still engaged in the harness or whatever it's called in the clip, but they're not actually wearing the seatbelt properly. So
why would you?
I honestly don't know, Alan. It doesn't make sense to me, but for some people, whether it's a comfort factor or whether it's, thumbing their nose at authority or something, but it's, it just seems ludicrous that you wouldn't put your seatbelt on properly.
Yeah. It amazes me. Anyway, sorry about that. I just sidetracked a bit, but I just can't believe anybody's that silly.
No, I absolutely agree with you. So, never mind. So to change tack a little bit, Alan, there's been quite a bit of publicity recently too about the scourge of family violence, and, of course, we touched on that in our last program in just before Christmas last year about the rise of family violence, etc. So,
Peter, can I just stop you there for a minute?
Sure.
I've just got to do something. I've got someone knocking on the door, so and I'll come straight back to you.
No problem.
Thanks. Talking to private investigator Peter from Absolute Facts. Sorry about that, Peter. We've got everything under control here. I'm the only person in the station and the phone's been going and we've just had someone knocking on the door. But we're calmed down now. I've got somebody else answer the door and we're in business. You want to talk about, well, it'd be great if we didn't have to talk about family violence, but you want to talk about family violence, Peter?
Yeah, look, I saw some numbers come up. It was actually in the Geelong region, basically the headline reads, a family violence order was breached across Greater Geelong every 3 hours in the past year.
Every three hours?
Yes. And that's basically saying that's the most common offence. So the Crime Statistics Agency revealed 3,140 family violence orders were breached across the Geelong region in the year ending September 2025. And even though the total number of offences had actually dropped by 3% over the previous years, basically breaching a family violence orders is the most common crime by far, way exceeding things like theft from cars and other theft. It's well in front of sort of 25 to 30% higher than any of those other two categories.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, so that caught my eye. I'm not sure when that was printed, perhaps late last year, but I thought I'd save it and mention it because it just shows the unfortunate extent of firstly the breaching of the family violence orders, but also the fact that it's almost the most common time, if you like.
I know that the police were telling me that Christmas Day and Boxing Day and those sorts of days, when the families get together, which should be a peaceful day, that's one of their biggest problems on the day. They spend more time on family violence on Christmas Day and Boxing Day than any other day of the year.
Yep, that's true. Meaning having to get together with the outlaws, as I call it. But yeah, that's unfortunate. But nevertheless, that caught my eye. And then another one that caught my eye, which is probably again about a month or so old, was that incident where the magistrate let the youth offender go on a taxpayer funded holiday to a Gold Coast theme park as part of his rehabilitation. Only for the 18-year-old to be arrested again a week after returning, presumably, for a string of alleged armed robberies and home invasions in Melbourne's southeast.
So allegedly that worked well, didn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, you look at the what would the pub test be on that? You know, how silly that magistrate's probably looking after the event.
I'm not allowed to pick on magistrates. I'm not allowed to do that.
No, I look, they've got a very tough job, no doubt. But I think public opinion is definitely pushing back the other way against a lot of this stuff now. And you know, the punishment really doesn't appear to fit the crime, does it? So,
Peter, can I just ask you then? I mean, this is not family violence because I guess you don't necessarily get involved in that. But you're in the courts quite a bit, and that's part of your job. You're not in court yourself, but you're in court as part of your job. Do you see the same culprits coming back time and time and time again? And we're talking probably mainly that you're doing shoplifting, but you must see other crimes when you're there. Do you sort of start thinking, oh, is this person again?
Yeah, look, I think from a general perspective from how I see it, a lot of court cases are to do with driving offences, whether it's driving unlicensed or things like, you know, the car's not registered or the car's not roadworthy and things like that. It's probably more driving, you know, exceeding the speed limit by more than whatever. 30 is obviously a bit of an issue if you go 30 over.
Yep.
So I would say that if I'm sitting there listening in, that probably at least a third, probably 40% of the matters that appear to come that I are listening into would be driving related or driver's license related. Then absolutely, yes, there's as we alluded to with the organised retail crime, there's people that are coming up over and over again for stealing, shop theft or breaking in or anything along those lines, stealing cars, obviously, stealing vehicles, stealing tools, stealing alcohol, groceries, Lego has had quite a explosion recently.
I wonder why.
Yeah, and certain brands of olive oil that proved particularly popular, and there's, you know, people with stealing 10 or 12, I think you call them tins or whatever you call them, but I tell you what, you'd have to be pretty strong to walk out with that many in one go, but they do. Obviously, meat. And I did notice, just as an aside, there was someone complaining on Facebook about, I'm pretty sure it was Kmart have put in new, like, gates at their entry.
Woolies have done that too. While I was away over Christmas shopping and that, you've got to go in through, you know, these electronic gates and you can't get out. And I believe that the person on the cash register has to actually push the button to let you out.
Yes, yes. And, I mean, you know, everyone complains about, you know, having their liberty or freedom or whatever, ability to move around restricted. But the problem is, I mean, the retails just have to do something about trying to slow it down. So I don't have any, personally don't have any problem with them putting those sort of systems into place. And if it stops, you know, a percentage of their shrinkage, but also perhaps maybe alleviates the confrontation part of it as well. So I think that's another factor that you think of a sort of like a door greeter or something like that. I mean, gee, wouldn't that be a job you wouldn't want to do at the moment?
And they don't touch you either. Peter, Do you? I don't have a problem with that at all. With people having me having to go through a gate. Can you? You're close to the action. What's happening with the face recognition? Is that been hit on the head or what? I don't want to talk about any particular store, but is it been hit on the head or will it come back in another version or what's going on there?
The last I heard was I think there was some pushback coming back the other way to and presumably that would include the privacy commissioner who pretty much donged it on the head.
Yeah.
I think the retailers are really pushing, saying, look, this is an absolute necessary tool to, you know, to fight against particularly organised shoplifting and retail crime. I don't believe there's been any softening of the policy just yet. But look, personally, and I'm sure from a retailer's point of view, they would like to be able to utilise the technology. And I think I believe I brought up one just before in November, December, where they're actually able to identify a person's gait, as in GAI.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
Yes, and I haven't heard any kickback against that because presumably it's not facial recognition, but it's gait, GAIT recognition, and you know, perhaps whether that's been installed throughout, I don't know. I'm not aware of it, but it's another tool. And the other thing too to bear in mind, and you'll probably see some signs popping up around shopping centres and things like that, where there's a lot more number plate recognition taking place now as well.
Is there?
Yeah.
See, I don't have any problem. I don't mind that they take my face when I walk in. The only thing I would just hate, there just has to be a bit of a safety thing there so that you didn't accidentally, like someone walked in that looked like Alan Collier and then I got banned as a shoplifter. Other than that, I don't have a problem with it.
No, look, I think there's probably going to be one or two of them come up from, you know, overall, but my understanding is the technology's pretty reasonably accurate and it also gives degrees of accuracy as well. So, again, it's either 100% match or could be an 80 or 70% match. So, obviously, the retailer needs to be mindful of that. Yep. But I would dare say that more often than not, they've got the right Sinatra, put it that way.
And the other thing is too that I think you said that it's deleted again fairly quickly, isn't it?
Yes, I think that's that again, and I've dwelled on this a couple of times. I'm incredulous that Rob Schneider from Bunnings hasn't pointed this out, that 99.99% of the images are deleted in a microsecond. And I think I would be focusing more on that, putting that out there rather than, as well as the fact of the incredible incidents that take place, you know, confrontation between team members and people hell-bent on stealing something from the store. So, you know, I think that I still maintain that's probably a missed thing and the media hasn't even picked up on it either, the fact that, you know, your picture gets taken, absolutely, but it's also gone inside a second. It's disappeared because you're not a match. So I think people have missed the point on that personally.
Yes, me too. Peter, I've just got to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sure.
Thanks.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Hold me down.
Now I'm only falling apart. There's nothing I can do, a total eclipse of the heart.
Talking to Peter from Absolute Facts. Right, let's keep going. Peter, I'm not sure. There's a few things going on here because I'm the only person, as I said before, in the studio. People are knocking on the door and then all sorts of things happening. But anyway, I've calmed down again. By next month, we'll be right.
All right, I'll see if I can upset you. I've got one of these curly ones for you,
Alan,
if you love.
No.
And you've got a 1 in 366 chance of being correct.
Well,
so
that's not going to work for a start off.
So what we're looking at, Alan, is the top 10 birth dates in this was released in 2024 by the Australian Bureau of Statistics.
Right.
Would you like to have a stab, Alan, at what the most popular birth date was in 2024 in Australia?
Hang on. October, November, December, January.
No Googling allowed.
No, hang on. June. I'd say May or June, so I'll go with June.
Okay, well, that's a month, but no, the most
Oh, you wanted
popular,
a day. Oh, no.
Yeah, the actual day, birth date, D-A-T-E.
Yeah.
And the actual, I wouldn't have had a clue myself, but the most popular birth date.
Before you just tell me, I'll say 9 months after the grand final.
Which would be June.
Yeah, that's why I picked June.
Okay, so June is not in anywhere, no date in June is anywhere in the top 10.
Isn't
so.
It?
No, there is a May, but the most popular...
What date in May?
May the 3rd and May the 8th are the 9th and 10th most popular at 907 births.
Because my birthday is the 25th of May.
Oh, there you go. So 907.
But, I've put you right off.
Yeah, that's right, yes. So drum roll, please.
Yep.
There were 946 births in 2024 on the 28th of March.
28th?
So, yep.
Can you count back? What's it going to take us back to?
Okay, so 938 on the 24th of April, 936 on the 27th of February, 926 on the 24th of January, 919 on the 27th of March. So 27 and 28 March pretty much together.
Yeah.
Then we go over to the Leo territory, 915 on the 2nd of August, 911, 22nd of April, and then 907 each of 2nd of February, 3rd of May, and 8th of May. And that's the top 10 by birth date.
Well, I wonder why the 28th of March gets a gig.
Yes, well, if we go back 9 months, what's happening around the 28th, what would that be?
That'd be about June, wouldn't it?
9 months, yes, the end of financial years.
I wouldn't have thought there's a lot to celebrate there.
No, that's right. End of financial year celebration, in inverted commas, yes.
Yeah, I would have honestly thought, and that's why I based mine on the... what I said, based on the grand final, because I reckon if Collingwood has a grand final, it often is a big year.
Yes, exactly. Yes, in June, around June-ish, yeah. True. So it seems to say you're so successful at these, Alan.
Oh,
I've got another one for you.
Oh, no.
Just to lighten the mood a bit. Yeah. And we're going to talk about our Philippine friends that have moved to Australia, migrated to Australia. And would you like to hazard a guess on which suburb in Victoria has the highest Filipino population?
No. If it was Asian, I'd say Springvale.
Right.
No idea, to be honest.
No idea? No, that's fair enough. It's actually Tarnit in Victoria. Yeah, Tarnit, just west of Melbourne there, out near sort of north of Hoppers and Werribee and all that. So, and there's, as of, when was this? 2021, I believe it is, the population census. There was 1,910 Filipino nationals, I guess you'd call them, in Tarnit, which was the second highest around the country. The highest was actually Blacktown in New South Wales.
Oh, right.
With 2,820, so that's almost double what Tarnit or Wellatrulli. And then there's a suburb in WA called Wellard, which has 1,300. So they were the top three. But I thought those. I know how you love those ones, Alan.
Well, I tell you now. I mean, if we moved over to Philippines or somewhere the likes of that, we would all go together, wouldn't we? Like, we'd be looking for Aussies there to sort of go into a suburb there, wouldn't we? So it's not surprising.
To congregate.
You don't hear a lot from the Philippine people from the Philippines, I must be honest.
No. Maybe they're very well behaved, very, very quiet. They are generally a fairly quiet nation, aren't they?
Yeah.
Quiet people, yes.
Peter, we've got to go in about a minute and a half, but before we go... Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
So which is that, part two or part two is the famous one?
It's just come up, Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to assume it's going to be part two, which is pretty much the famous one with the two brilliant solos by Gilmore, but it's the one where they basically they finish up destroying the school because we don't need no education. I'm going to assume it's that one. I might be wrong. There is three parts, but part two is definitely the most famous one.
That's like the old gag, you know. I never went to no stupid school. I didn't need no education.
That's right.
Fantastic to have you along again. I'm grateful that you're going to be with us again this year, and I look forward to being with you the first Wednesday of March.
Yes, first Wednesday of March. Look forward to it, Alan. And we got through it in the end, I think.
Oh, yeah, after some problems here at Aaron. I'm off to do a fun run tonight, so I hope it starts to cool down.
Oh, okay. Good luck with that. How far is the fun run?
Oh, it's not a big one. It's only about 6Ks, but it's around the zoo and in the zoo, so it's a bit of fun.
Okay.
So, anyway, Must have well, go.
There's a joke there, Alan. I hope they let you out.
Thanks, Peter. Talk to you next month, mate.
Okay. Bye.